Last week I talked to you about things not to take into the new year. And I want to thank those of you who commented on my message and said that it was helpful to you, and I appreciate those words. This morning, the first Sunday of the year, I want to talk to you about a question that God asked Moses in Exodus chapter 4. It's going to be the basis of this New Year's Sunday service. Exodus chapter 4, if you'd turn there with me this morning. Moses has made his way up to the mountain to see the burning bush that is not consumed. God tells him to take the shoes off his feet because he's standing on holy ground. God's presence is there in a very powerful way. God begins a dialogue with Moses about the freedom of the children of Israel. Part of that dialogue is having to do with Moses and his abilities, because Moses will be eventually the one leading the children of Israel out of bondage. But Moses is a hesitant servant. He's not sure of himself. He's not sure he's qualified to do what God is asking him to do. Maybe you feel the same way about this coming year. Maybe you don't feel qualified to do what the Lord is calling you to do this year. Maybe you're planning on getting married this coming year. And maybe you don't feel qualified to be a husband or wife. But let me just encourage you to go ahead and go through with your plans if that's the Lord's will, and He will help you and He'll equip you, and your new wife will help you be the husband you ought to be. Amen? Maybe some of you are planning a family. You don't feel qualified to be parents. That's okay. Your children will help you be a good parent. They will do that. Maybe you're starting a new career, or maybe you're beginning one for the first time, and you don't feel qualified for that. Well, if it's the Lord's will, you go ahead and step out in faith, and you can learn on the job. How many learned on the job? Several of you? Yeah, you learned how to do it as you move forward. And on and on and on we could go on, but really it really comes down to this question in verse 2. So the Lord said to him, Moses, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? And Moses said, it's a rod, and it was a staff, and it's called those different things. A rod, a staff, a shepherd's crook, or whatever you want to call it. That's what it was. It's what Moses used to herd the sheep and the goats of his father, Jethro of Midian. And God asked him, what is your hand and is in your hand? And that's the question this morning. What is in your hand? Everybody take a look at your hands for a moment. Would you just look at your hands and stare at them for a moment? And boy, your hands tell a story. Are your hands as wrinkled as mine are? Seems like there's more and more wrinkles every time I look at my hands. You could tell a story with those hands. See some of the scars that are there? See the calluses that are there? Those will probably tell a story. You all have a story. We don't believe in fortune telling, but, you know, a fortune teller, of course, would take your hand and say, well, you've got this line, and that means that, and means that, and nah, that's none of that stuff. Those lines, I've earned those wrinkles. How many have earned your wrinkles? Amen? I've earned those. Those are hands that have worked hard. Those are hands that have changed diapers. Those are hands that have, cleaned the house. Those are hands that have done dishes, cleaned the oil, changed the oil. Those are hands that have constructed things. Those are hands that played music. Those are just the stories are just numerous on what those hands have done. And we look at those hands and we could tell really the story. And God says to Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses is holding that staff. And so Moses is the reluctant servant. He says, what happens when I go to Egypt and they don't believe me. What am I going to do? And God says, well, what is in your hand? And he says, it's a rod. And so look at the progression. Verse 3. And he said to Moses, cast it, the rod, on the ground. Just throw it down. Throw it down. And so he threw it down. And the Bible says that it became a serpent. I don't know how that worked exactly, except for 1 minute he's holding the rod and it's a stick. And the next moment it hits the ground and it's a serpent. Now I believe that the Bible is literally true. I believe that it's not an image, it's not a figure of speech. It became a serpent. You know why I know that? You know why I believe that? Because the next line, Moses ran. That's the reaction I would have. I was watching a little program last night on TV, and it was about one of the most venomous snakes in Australia. It's on an island, and I forget what it's called, but it was black, and it was big, and it was long, and it knew how to swim. And as I saw that water, I thought, maybe I won't swim in Hawaii this coming week. And Moses ran. What did he run from? The serpent or the rod? Did he run from the serpent or the rod? Well, it was probably the serpent, but really he was running away from the very thing that God would use to deliver the children of Israel. It was his rod that would become the instrument of the miraculous. But he ran away from it because he was afraid. He saw it in a different form. And then God said to him, verse 4, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. I'm glad he said take it by the tail. I don't know that Moses would have done it if he said take it by the heads. So Moses reached down. That's the proper way to pick it up anyway, I guess. And he reached down and he grabbed that serpent by the tail. And as he lifted it up, it became the rod again. And God, I think, in doing that, showed him that God could do the impossible. That's a miracle. That really is. And God was saying, Moses, and I think what he was saying to Moses is, don't run away from what I'm calling you to do. And if I could say anything to us this morning, it would be, don't run away from what God is calling you to do this coming year. What is in your hand? What has God put in your heart to do? Is it to spend more time in prayer? Is it to be reading the Bible through the year? Is it to get married? Or is it to have children? Or is it to start a career? Or is it to try to devotionally become closer to God? What is it that God is calling you to do this year? What is in your hand? Don't run away from that, even though sometimes it might look a little scary. How many know that sometimes plans could look scary, right? Look scary. When I took my family and a group of other folks from the church to Africa many years ago, we went through England, and it was my first international, it was our first international trip. And I was afraid, not afraid, fear. It's just, I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sure what to do. And as we're flying over the North Pole, I saw the Northern Lights. It was a beautiful sight out of that airplane. But I was very apprehensive about getting to London. We were going to spend a couple of days there. And I didn't know what to do. I was a little afraid. But the Lord just kept assuring me that everything would be okay. And it was. And I won't take time to tell the story. But one of the moments in England, we weren't quite sure what to do. And a total stranger came up to us and said, "You must be Americans." I said, "How can you tell?" He says, "Because you have that fear of London look all over your face." And he became our personal guide. Don't run away from what God is calling you to do this year. It may look like a serpent, but you take that task up and it'll become a rod that God will use to help you accomplish what you're going to do. Amen. Then we go on. Look at verse 6. "Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now I want you to put your hand in your bosom. I want you to move that little robe that you have on. I want you to find a place. I want you to put your hand in your bosom. I want you to stick it in your bosom there. And so he did that. Moses stuck his hand in his bosom. And God said, now you bring it out again. And behold, when he brought his hand out, it was full of leprosy. Ah! It's white as snow. It's full of leprosy. It's full of leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible symbolically represents sin. And how many know that all of us are lepers when it comes to that analogy? We are sinners. And our human abilities are oftentimes way too obvious. Notice that God is using hands. What is in your hand? The rod. Put your hand in your bosom. Now pull it out. And what is it? It's full of leprosy. It's sinful. Our hands are sinful. Moses startles at his hand that is now leprous. And God says, now stick it back in. So he stuck his hand back in his bosom. And when he pulled it out, it was plain. It was whole. It was well. It is a picture of what God can do. He can heal our sinfulness. That's what communion is about. But that second thing with his hand is about our humanness. It's about our failures. It's about the fact that we can do nothing in ourselves, in our own efforts. And Moses will have to learn that. Because remember, one of the things that kept Moses out of the promised land, you that have read it, you know what it was when he disobeyed the Lord, and in disbelief, he struck the rock more times than God said to strike it, because he tried it in his own efforts. So what is in your hands? What is God asking you to do this coming year? Don't try to do it in your own strength. You'll fail every time, but do it in God's strength. Amen? Come on, get with me. It's not going to get any better than this. So you might as well have a good time. We can't do it in our own strength. And then in verse 9, he says, I'm going to give you a third way to convince the people that I'm God. And it shall be that if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, then you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. And you that know the story of Moses know that blood plays a powerful, powerful part of that incredible story, because Moses did exactly that. When Pharaoh said no, he took water from the Nile and poured it out, and it became blood. And whether the whole Nile became blood or not, we don't know that. But also it was the blood that protected the children of Israel when the death angel came over. Amen? And I believe that that third miracle shows us the power of the blood. How many believe there's still power in the blood? There's still power in the blood. That's what the communion talks is about, is the blood of Jesus. What is in your hand? What task is God giving you this year to do? What is in your hand? What do you have to do for the Lord this year? We can't do it in our own strength. Our hands are leprous, if you will. We can't do it in our own power and our own abilities. But thirdly, we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and to help us accomplish what he's going to do in our lives. Amen. Power of the blood. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, there's a little verse. And the first part of it says this: whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, though he was very negative in that book, he said, here's a principle that you need to stick with. Whatever your hand finds to do, we're talking about hands. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. If you're going to do something, do it with all your might. Give it your best shot. Amen? Don't leave anything on the field, like Seattle did last night. But anyway, sorry. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Then the New Testament equivalent to that, I believe, is Colossians 3:17, when it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do it with all your might. Do it with all your power and all the strength that you have. Do it in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is this coming year that God lays on your heart to do, whether it's a small thing or a large thing, do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. Do it in the name of Jesus. Accomplish it for the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, what in the world can I do? What can I do in order to serve the Lord? He was born to a family in the 1500s. And the record isn't clear of whether they had 15 children or 18 children, but to me it doesn't matter. How many know that's a lot of kids? His father was a goldsmith, did engravings with gold. He wanted his son to follow in his footsteps, but his son felt that he would rather do something else with his life. So he, born in Nuremberg in Germany, he moved to another section of Germany and found himself that in his hands he had an incredible talent and ability. He was commissioned by a bishop to do an engraving on an altar. And originally, his first sketches were called the Hands of the Apostle that was going to be on that altar. And in his rough drawings, all he drew was the hands. It was just a rough sketch. His name was Albrecht Dürer. And 510 years later, his original sketch still exists today in Vienna, Austria. And you'll recognize his sketch. The Praying Hands. It became known as the Praying Hands. That was just a rough draft. That was a preliminary sketch. He never intended for that to be anything but just a rough drawing. But that has come down to us as a powerful symbol of what it means to reach out to God. Amen? You find it everywhere. You find it in bronze statues, pictures, everything. The original of this is kept in a sealed case because of its being so fragile. But it still exists to this day. We might ask the question, what did Albrecht Dürer have in his hands? He only had a pen and ink. That's all he had. But he wanted to use it for God. And this is only one of many of the things that he drew and sculpted. And yet, who hasn't been inspired by this? And maybe you've even got it in your house, on a wall somewhere, on a desk. Who would have known that 510 years later, we can still look at this and say, we're having a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. Amen? Come on. My kids asked me what I wanted for Christmas. So I gave them a little list. I said a couple little things. And I said, and find me one of those quill pens with ink. I'd like to put some things in my journal with a quill pen. I've always been fascinated with that. So they couldn't find one. They were too expensive. And they were probably wondering why Dad would want that anyway. You cannot read my writing. The only reason Sally survives in her job today is she can translate what I write. It's the only reason. I will never draw anything like this, but I wanted to try. So Sharina and Eddie found me a fountain pen, and I used that. And then Sharina found me a little calligraphy thing, and she bought me this, jokingly, this little package of feathers. But I tried it the other day. I took out one of those feathers, and I have to tell you, I did pretty good with a feather. Cheryl looked it up and found that goose feathers are the best. And so if you have a goose, bring me a feather, would you? What is in your hand? His name was Eric Enstrom. And in 1918, he got a knock on the door. And standing at his door was a peddler selling ice scrapers, because this was Minnesota. The peddler's name was Charles Wilden. When Eric saw him, he immediately thought, wow. He invited the peddler in, had him sit at a table, set a few little items there, set up his camera, and he took a photo that he was going to take to a photography gathering in Minnesota, another state, I'm sorry. He didn't think that that photo would be anything more than just something to show his ability to take a picture. What was in Eric Enstrom's hand? Just a camera. But this is the picture that he took. That's the picture. It's entitled Grace. That man in that picture is named Charles Wilden. Eric gave him $5 for his trouble. When the painting became so famous, he tried to find Charles and never could. Charles disappeared. Rumor had it that he was a man that was given to drink and probably floundered his way wherever. But this photograph has come down to us in history as one of the most remarkable photographs in black and white. Later, it will be colored by his daughter to make it more appealing. But here he is sitting here giving grace over a humble meal. What did Eric Enstrom have in his hands? Just a camera. He didn't think this photograph would do anything. But he framed it and he put it in his window of his shop in Bovee, Minnesota, and someone bought it, so he made another one and put it there, and someone bought that, and before you know it, it began to be sold and has made him, and he's passed away now, but his family's made great gains because of it. What's in your hands? What can you do? How many have not been inspired by this picture to take a moment to give God thanks for the humble things that we have? This photograph was taken during World War I, and the whole purpose behind it, Eric said, was to show people that we can still be grateful when we are facing great difficulty. Nobody knows what 2019 will hold, but I pray that all of us will keep two things in mind. Number one, the praying hands, that no matter what 2019 holds, we need to always be giving thanks to God and spending time in prayer. Amen? And number two, that we need to, as this picture portrays, always be thankful to God for what we have. No matter how humble, no matter how great, let us give God the praise for what He's given us. Amen? Amen. What is in your hands today? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing of the Word of God. We thank You for the blessing of knowing that whatever You put in our hands, You can use it for Your glory. I pray that in this coming year, Lord, we would be a people of prayer, that we would, as we've already prayed, invite Your presence to come into every aspect of our lives. And secondly, that we will be a grateful people. That we will certainly give grace to the Lord. Say our grace to God for whatever it is that we might have, be it large or be it small. Thank You, Lord. And to the question, what is in Your hands? Help each of us to answer that question in our own way. Is our family in our hands? Then, Lord, help us do what we can to make that the best family possible. To these young parents with children, children are in their hands, and so help them, Lord, to do their best in raising those children to love the Lord and be good, solid citizens, Lord, of our nation. Father God, is a marriage in our hands. Help us to do whatever we can do to help make that marriage the best it can possibly be. Is there a talent in our hands, Lord? Use that talent. Help us use that talent for the Lord our God, not for our own glory, but for yours, Lord. And who knows but what 510 years from now, a preacher may show a painting that someone here has done, or a drawing that someone here has done. What is in your hand is our neighbors in our hands. May we take good care of our neighbors. What is in our hands? A calling. Help us not to be afraid of following the call of God, but Lord, follow it strongly to where the Lord would lead us. What is in your hands? Lord, help us answer that question and with it move forward, knowing that God is able to help us accomplish more than we could ever think possible if we simply commit to Him whatever is in our hands. We thank you for that today. Pray that you would be with everyone as they go about their separate ways. Give them a wonderful Lord's Day, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's thank the Lord for His word today, shall we? Amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day. We'll see you, if not before, in 2 weeks. Because I'm going to Hawaii. See you later.